Today's show, in part, will be dedicated to Potato Days and therefore Carbondale history. Right now we are listening to a record that were among many in Hattie Thompson's collection. There was a ghost party at Hattie Thompson's last night. And she was gracious enough to allow Katie and Kay to borrow some of her 45s and play them on the air for you tonight. Perhaps a first on the Kay Dinkle airwaves. Stay tuned and you might hear from a few ghosts from last night's party.
Pennsylvania on August 20th, 1822. At the age of 23, he moved to Michigan City, Indiana, and worked as carpenter and home builder. In 1850, I married Elmira Weston. She bore me 8 lovely children, Warren, Drusilla, Alex, Flora, and Clara. We were all born in Michigan City. We moved to Dresden, Missouri in 1865, where 2 more children were born, Hattie Bell and Frank. Lane was the last. My poor Elmira died in 1875 at the age of 45. In the late 1870s, my son Alex and I came west, hoping to build the camps and towns that were springing up due to the mine trade. We lived for a time in Leadville and Aspen before moving to Carbondale in 1880. We were the first settlers on the Crystal River, having a homestead for the first quarter section of land in this area. Our land was near what became known as Thompson Creek. No?
Crystal River.
Sam Bowles and his nephew Oscar Holland arrived shortly after. They built the cabin together in the area of what is now known as River Valley Ranch.
There you go. Now you point the cabin.
River Valley Ranch. Like that?
There's the cabin.
River Valley Ranch. This cabin was later moved to its present site on the corner of Wentz and Highway 133 in McKinley's Inn and the headquarters of the Carbondale Historical Society.
Very good.
About 1882, 4 of my children came to live in Carbondale. Hattie Bell married Sam's nephew Oscar Holland in 1887, and they built them a modest one-story brick home on the land Oscar had homesteaded just north of my land. They raised sheep and cattle and grew hay and potatoes. As their fortune grew, they acquired more land and they named their spread Pleasant View Ranch. I helped them add a second story to their home, the first of many remodels and additions. The house is now the Thompson Creek Museum, which is open for tours in the summertime. In 1902, I married Elmira's sister, Melinda Weston Huber. That's kind of crazy.
That happened a lot back then.
Married her sister.
She was then a widow with 6 children of her own. She came to live with me and the house I built at the corner of 7th and Main and Carbondale and now the site of Amore Realtor. I passed peacefully on May 23rd, 1907, when I was 84 years old. At that time, the oldest living pioneer in the whole of Crystal Valley. My youngest lineman died a year later and was laid to rest next to me at Hillcrest Cemetery. The end.
What's your name?
Myron Preston Thompson.
In 1881, I decided to head west looking for land to homestead and settled on the Crystal River, then called Rock Creek. Right about here. Where's Rock Creek?
That's it.
Is it just this, it was just this whole thing was Rock Creek.
Right.
My nephew Oscar Holland, who suffered from tuberculosis, came out shortly after, and we built a cabin with our neighbor, Myron Thompson. Oscar's health eventually improved, and he married Myron's daughter, Hattie. They lived on the land we homesteaded, which was just below the Grove Brothers Ranch. During the time I was homesteading the land, I began farming. I grew the first crop of potatoes in the Roaring Fork Valley by planting the peelings from the potatoes I cooked for dinner. I brought my wife and children to live here in Carbondale, and we enjoyed many years together with our grandchildren and great-grandchildren. I'd had a hard life as a farmer, though, and my heart gave out on June 16th, 1913. I was only 69 years old. Sarah lived many years after. She died in 1938 at age 90. Now we rest in Hillcrest Cemetery together for eternity. Yeah, eternity.
I had tuberculosis.
Wow.
And I came west for my health. like Doc. Should I say like Doc Holliday?
Yeah.
I came west for my health, just like Doc Holliday. I homesteaded this land in 1881, and I married Hattie in 1887. It's a lonely 6 years. I died in 1920, and I was buried in Dearborn, Missouri. You can find my grave at findagrave.com/memorial/Oscar Holland. In 1905, I purchased 860 acres in Carbondale for potatoes. The population at that time was approximately 284 people. This is my business... I forget your name.
Dinkle.
This is my business partner, Dinkle. Take it away, Dinkle.
Dinkle. My name is William Mansfield Dinkle. I was born on a plantation in Bridgewater, Virginia, October 14, 1847. My father was Robert McGill Dinkle, and mother was Sarah Ann Hite Dinkle. I had three brothers and three sisters. In 1880, when I was 33, my brother James and I, with high hopes, bade a cheerful farewell to the kinsfolk in the home where we were born. We had known only comfort in our youth, and when we heard about the newly opened mining territory in the West, it seemed a delightful adventure. So we decided to go to the Rockies in pursuit of gold. In 1881, we had reached Pueblo, Colorado. I heard a bit of gossip as to the lack of flour in Aspen. We packed our mules and three horses with 800 pounds of flour, in addition to our personal possessions. It was difficult footing on the steep grade through deep snow. The weather was intensely cold. The journey over the range was a most difficult undertaking. The descent on into Aspen was not easy. We paid $32 for that flour at Buena Vista and offered the price at $400 in Aspen. When the public found out there was flour in town, the price was given without quibbling. Later, we packed on down the Roaring Fork through the Ute Reservation and on to Grand River, known to you folks as the Colorado River, where Glenwood Springs now is. It was August 1881, about 30 days prior to the opening of the Indian Reservation to American settlement. We were met by a party of four or five Indians who turned us back, and we returned to the site of Carbondale. There we found plenty of green grass. I started farming and built the first irrigation ditch out of the Roaring Fork River. During the summer of 1884, my partner James Zimmerman and I cut logs from the slopes of Mount Soperus and built the first stage stop in the valley. This place became the hobnobbing point for commercial travelers and a meeting place for local farmers after work. Later, I built on the main thoroughfare in the east end of town, where I ran the post office and the Bank of Carbondale. In November 1891, a fierce fire consumed the east side of Carbondale, but the safe was rescued from the burning building and wheeled down the street to my new two-story building at 4th and Main, where the bank was open for business the next day. The new building occupied an entire block and housed the Dinkle Mercantile Company and the potato brokerage. About 1891, I shipped the first carload of potatoes ever to go out of the Roaring Fork Valley. In 1892, when I was 44, I married my childhood sweetheart, Sally Angeline Dunlap, who was then working as a Kansas school teacher. We had one child, Margaret Ann. She married Wallace DeBeck II, son of the founder of the town of DeBeck. I continued as a successful merchant and banker for many years. I also lived in Denver for a time after being elected to two terms in the state legislature. After that, I came home to my beloved town in the majestic Rocky Mountains. Alas, I suffered from cancer of the stomach and died in my home in Carbondale on April 23, 1918. I was 70 years old. Having been a member of the Carbondale's Masonic Lodge No. 82, I was given a proper Mason's burial in Hillcrest Cemetery, where my grave was capped with a magnificent granite slab. But my namesakes live on in the Dinkle Building and Dinkle Lake. I had a grandson born in 1921 whom I never got to meet, Wallace DeBeck III. He died in 2018. I understand I have a great-granddaughter still living here in Carbondale, Michelle DeBeck, known as Shelley.
Hello, my name is Edna Sweet. I was born Mary Edna Denmark in Missouri in 1872. In 1880, my father, C.E. Denmark, went west to seek his fortune. He spent 3 years in Crested Butte, then journeyed to Aspen, which was in the midst of the biggest silver boom in the United States had ever seen. In 1885, he sent for mother, myself, and my little brother, who was only 2 years old. We traveled by stage over the mountains to Leadville and then into Aspen. My father purchased land on the Roaring Fork River near what is now Carbondale, but back then it was a dry, barren desert of sagebrush with no trees and only one log structure. After the arrival of more families, a school was started in a little log building by the Tank Bridge. This was the first school I attended. Those were quiet, peaceful years. The soil produced wonderful gardens, the streams were full of trout, the mountains abounded in game of all kinds. Everybody rode horseback. We took trips into the woods and found an abundance of wild raspberries and currants for jam. In the fall of 1887, when I was 15, my father took me to boarding school in Aspen. It was a long journey in the horse-drawn wagon. We started at 4 a.m. and arrived in Aspen at 10 p.m. After I graduated, I became a school teacher until 1885, when I married Frank Sweet, who was 13 years older than I. Frank came in 1882 from Hartford, Connecticut. We had 5 children, Irene, Walden, Julian, Dorothy, and Harold. My sweet baby Irene lived less than a year and is buried next to us. We homesteaded acreage below the West Mesa and built our house at the foot of the mesa. We grew hay and potatoes on the river bottomland. Our russet Burbank potatoes won prizes in the Potato Day judging contest. Frank formed a partnership with William Dinkle, buying land on the East Mesa, which became known as the Big Four Ranch. Frank supervised the building of a 12-mile-long irrigation ditch for farming. Frank also worked as the general manager of the Dinkle Mercantile Company while Mr. Dinkle had charge of the bank. In 1896, the Carbondale Study Club was formed by several prominent Carbondale women. We bought the latest fiction and periodicals to read and discuss. Mrs. Eugene Grubb was our first president. We also labored for improvement of the community and were instrumental in building a road to Hillcrest Cemetery and planting trees around it. When Frank died suddenly in 1932, it was such a shock. The Carbondale community was so kind and generous in helping me through that difficult time. In 1947, I published a book called Carbondale Pioneers, 1879 to 1890. The pioneer families were all getting older and dying out, so I felt the need to write their history for posterity. I died in 1954 at the age of 82. From my grave in Hillcrest Cemetery, overlooking our little village, lying so peacefully at the foot of Mount Sopris, with its beautiful homes, trees, and flowers, and remember my first glance of the treeless desert, I feel it is worth all the toil, strife, and tears that went into the building of it. Hey. Thank you.
Crawford County, Pennsylvania on August 30th, 1828. I married Edward Grubb, a successful tanner, and we had five children, Eugene, Lloyd, Annabelle, Josephine, and Alberta. Oh, I'm so proud of all of them. Alberta served as Carbondale postmistress for 17 years and was the town clerk for 8 years and was on the town council. Her son George was sheriff of Garfield County. My son Eugene moved out here in 1882 and set up blacksmithing in Aspen. In 1885, his brother Lloyd joined him and they traded their prize-winning racehorse, Mormon Annie, to Smith Brothers for their Carbondale ranch. Then they homesteaded other adjoining properties and had one of the largest ranches in the area, which they named Mount Soper's Farm. Lloyd and Eugene raised prize saddle horses and American shorthorn cattle. They also grew alfalfa for a while, but Eugene told me that old Dad Weaver wanted some early spring greens, so he planted dandelions, which soon escaped to the hay fields. After that, they plowed up the fields and planted potatoes, growing some of the finest in the whole country. The potatoes were put on trains and sold to restaurants and markets in the east. When they grew hay, their land produced $50 an acre, but the potatoes fetched $200 per acre, so that worked out well. Eugene became such an expert on potatoes that he was elected to the State Agricultural Board. He was appointed by President McKinley as the Special Commissioner to Europe in Potato Investigations for the United States. Sorry, that's funny. And they sent him all over the world to study potatoes. Can you believe that? Here's something else. My son Eugene H. Grubb wrote this book, The Potato, published in 1912. It became the guide for potato growers all over the world. And I'm proud to say I helped with some of the recipes in this book. I came to live with Eugene and his wife Isidore on the farm after my husband died. Isidore was a wonderful woman. She started the Carbondale Study Club, a group of women who met regularly to discuss literature and events of the day. I had four grandchildren from Eugene and Isidore. Tragically, my grandson Max died at the age of 37 and is buried next to me in Hillcrest Cemetery. I lived to the ripe old age of 88 and died of natural causes on January 5th, 1916. Now, here rest my bones in this beautiful place with Mount Soper's looking over me. Thank you.